We're going to have a couple of words released, and we believe in Philippians 1:6. We believe God's word. We believe that what he begins, he continues, he completes. And the Holy Spirit just doesn't disappear because we stop singing. There's a presence here of the Lord that will minister to our hearts on a continual basis. In fact, when you go to bed tonight, the Holy Spirit will still be ministering to you, okay? So this is an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. We don't, just because we stop or we transition or we do something, doesn't mean he moves away from us. And so continue welcoming, continue inviting, continue responding. The response is so important. The movement this morning was so important. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for this corporate yes. My brother Young's going to come. Come on up, brother. This is one of my newest and best friends in the city.
Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Wow, I met so many of my old friends here from Peace Tower and from different locations. I met Pastor Chuck through a unity movement that's led by Pastor Isaac Gimba, and it's been a wonderful time. Also meeting Pastor Val, it's amazing. This church is incredible. The presence of God this morning was awesome. I was just entering to worship. I started worship, and I thought I was having conversation with myself, and I heard this at first. Intergenerational, interracial church. I go, yeah, that's right. That's what I see. Then further word came through, and I saw, I knew it was Holy Spirit, and I said, well, where's that in the scripture? And God began to speak to me about Acts chapter 2, and I said, okay. And I believe the Lord wants me to read the entire Acts chapter 2 and to share the word that I received from him. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. If you want to read as I read, we can do that together. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Isn't that amazing? The fire of God continued to this day, right? Let's continue. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know that we're still in that 40-day period where Jesus was walking on the earth. And the Pentecost has yet to come, but we're living in that day. We're living in the book of Acts. Amen? Okay, verse 5. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation, like we are right now, under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia. Oh, that's hard. Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Liberia around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them, our own tongues, speaking of the mighty deeds of God. Amen. Come on. How many of you will praise the Lord? Amen. And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking and saying they were full of sweet wine. So when people walk in right now, imagine we're ministering to one another. They will be saying this. What crazy thing is this? What foreign word are they speaking? Why are they falling down? Why are they crying? Why are they all happy? The presence of God was there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to the men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you supposed, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Are you ready for this? Yeah. And it shall be in the last days. How many of you believe that we're living that day? We're living in the last days. Whether you believe it or not, it is last days. And that's what we need, to be on fire for the Lord. We need to continue to believe that we're living in the last days. God says that I will pour forth of my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will be in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders the sky above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name shall be saved. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. I believe the Lord is saying to this church, not only are you intergenerational and interracial, but you have a divine destiny. And the Lord wants this church, West Ottawa Community Church, to step into that last day's role of being an Acts 2 church. Acts 2 church. And I further ask, Lord, what does that mean? It means this house is first and foremost house of prayer, house of worship, house of fellowship, and lastly, house of discipleship. And when you read the rest of the book of Acts 2, it talks about all that. They were worshiping, they were praying, they're going house to house, and they were gathering, and many were saved, and they were discipling, they're breaking bread, and they were united as one under the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And I believe the Lord is saying, West Ottawa Community Church, pray the divine destiny. Walk into your destiny in the last days. I'm going to pray over that. How many of you believe that? If you believe that, please stand to your feet. Please stand. Let's pray together. I believe that you have been praying for many years on Mondays. We don't make things happen because of prayer. We align with the Lord, and the Lord's will is done through our prayer. We believe that. Father, we pray. May the will that you have established before the foundation of the world for this church. Father, we pray and we intercede, and sometimes we have lacked the word, so we pray in spirit in agreement with your plan. Father, may your will be done over this church. May this church bring in the harvest of many generations, the generation of Joshua, the people who are in their 60s, 70s, and 80 plus. They will disciple the next generation, and Generation X, Generation Y, and Generation Z, including with the Generation Boomer, they shall bring in great harvest for the nation. The last day is already here, Lord. Father, we pray, may your Holy Spirit be poured out once again. May you fill every single one of us in this house right now. Be filled with the passion and the zeal of the Lord. Be on fire for God, and may take the honor to suffer for Christ. Father, may you bring back the purest teaching of Jesus Christ to immerse us in your presence once again, Father. Father, there are many things that's happening in the city of Ottawa, and we pray that the mayor will be done not only through West Ottawa Community Church, but the body of Christ shall be the blessing once again for this city to change the nation spiritually through discipleship. It shall be done through church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Did you feel that? Rural James, I want you to come up and bring greetings. Can you do that? Just bring greetings. Just say a couple of words, and our dear Hannah's going to come after and do kind of a Mother's Day thing, because this is Mother's Day, and we're going to just release blessing to the mothers through Hannah. But you, my brother, have just recently come back from Nigeria, correct? I just want to let the congregation know that Mark Brisbois, who's been ministering here to this house for more than 25 years, that's probably pushing on 30, but 25 at least, 25 years, has called this church a gate church, that God releases and wants to release things from this western gate into the city. So we appreciate you led this team, and I want you to say a couple words about that. Also to leave a deposit, because what God has done here this morning, and it happened when Young and Son walked in on the Monday night prayer meeting a couple weeks ago, I felt that there would be something left behind. You don't only carry something, you give it away. That's the promise of Scripture. We all have that. Every single one of us is commissioned to give away, to freely give away what you've received in order that you might be filled up again to have more to give away. Yeah. Introduce your wife and your family too.
Okay.
Royal James.
Royal James the Innes. And that's my wife, Aisha. It's a great thing being here this morning, and for me, it's a wonderful experience. I'm here with my wife and two of my children, Roy and Lizette. From the day I met with this man of God, Isaac Gimba, God is using Isaac Gimba to do a great work, not just in the city of Arawa, but in the nation. And God is connecting his children together. And I think that is Jesus' desire. Before he left, he said, Father, I pray that they be one, just like I and you are one. Now, when we come together like this, in the presence of God with one spirit, something happens in the atmosphere. The kingdom of darkness is threatened whenever we come together. That's why every now and then the devil is seeking for ways to put the dividing line, because the predators will always cut out the flock and go after the isolated. That's why scripture teaches that two is better than one, for they will have a good reward for their labor. Don't neglect the fellowshipping together. Everything that happened here this morning happened because we came together. As they were together in one fold, in one accord, the Spirit of the Lord descended. We had the man of God just read this morning, our brother, I give you the salute. Amen. That's what happened. Jesus said, tarry ye here together until you be endowed with power from on high. The power from on high does not come in a disorganized system. God is not a God of confusion. This unity does not empower us. When we are together, we are stronger. So God is doing a great work in this city. And yesterday, the Lord spoke to us to worship here. We didn't inform him in any way. It was later at night, I sent him a text. I said, man of God, I will be coming to worship with you. But I know that for every man of God, this is how I know people that are in tune with God. Every man of God who is in tune with God knows that Saturdays are very busy days for pastors, especially pastors who are visionaries. The days when we say, just come and open your mouth and he will feel it, are gone. We have allied, we have educated people, we have intellectuals that come to sit to hear the word of the Lord. So for those who think that ministry is just open your mouth and the Lord will fill it, I have news for you that the Lord will fill it with air. Because when you come, you just breathe air. The man of God who read from this book and interpreted to us had spent some time in the presence of the Lord from the way he was interpreting. You understand me? Our job as ministers is to interpret the word of God to the people. We are not the givers of the word. The word is given by God. And our job is to interpret the word of God correctly and divide it rightly. Amen. So when I called and he didn't respond, I knew that he was in the presence preparing. So everything you see happen here is not because we came. It's not because he read the scripture, but it is because the man, the set man, and his wonderful wife have been spending time in the presence of the Lord for days such as this. So please, I'd like you to give respect to God on behalf of this wonderful man of God and his wife. Put your hands together unto the Lord and let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. It was a wonderful experience. I want to read a scripture briefly for one moment and then I am out of your way. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Babe, can you read that? Two is better than one. We just say that.
1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Hallelujah. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we're reading. Put your hands together. Let's celebrate that woman. She went to school. She has a master's degree and she can read both Hebrew and Greek. Hallelujah. You know that Hebrew is quite descriptive. Why Greek is definitive. When you read in Hebrew, if you're not careful, like you can see my brother, he was trying to pronounce the... So when we read one verse, we should give God praise. So what this scripture is saying here in a nutshell sense is that we are a distinguished people. We are a people of distinction, living in a world that is upside down but standing upright, living in a crooked way but we are moving straight. Then he says we are the light of the world. It means that without us in the world, the entire world is in darkness period. So every time you leave your house, let this be settled behind your heart that you are there to give direction to your society. We cannot let the world tell us what to do. Thank God for law-abiding citizens. We will abide by the laws, but we will also, most importantly, live by the dictates of the Holy Spirit. The reason for the coming of the Holy Spirit is that distinction, to separate you from the rest of the world. The people come, found people whom they knew. Some of them were unschooled. Some of them were old, retired, and ex-fishermen, suddenly speaking in other tongues. They were laying hands upon the sick, and the sick were getting healed. Not because of their massive university degrees, not because they were wealthy people, but because they encountered somebody who transformed their life. So he says, we are not the same with them. We must be the perseverers. We must show them the way forward. We must show them the way out. We must tell them what needs to be done. That's why scripture declares concerning the one to whom we submit that the government shall be upon his shoulders. And it means that he is the head. We are the body. The shoulder begins from here down. So we determine the government of the world. And the scripture declares that the entire world is groaning, waiting for our manifestation. The earlier we manifest, the sooner the world will be liberated. The answer is not in the hands of the politician. The answer is not in the hand of education. The answer is in your hands. Glory to God. Nobody amongst us here had any destiny before we met with God. Our destiny began when we met with Jesus. That is where real life begins. So I want to encourage every one of us here in the house this morning. Everything you see happening here is an empowerment. The four walls of this building are not where you practice what you receive here. The world out there, your office, your business place, your school, your marriage, your neighborhood, your community is a reason for coming here. You are coming here to receive that apostolic empowerment. So that when you go out there, you can say to darkness, give way, and darkness gives way. You can say to the devil, get out, and the devil gets out. You can show some kindness to somebody. Your Christianity is not a product of regular church attendance, but it's a regular of the practice of the life of Christ. How we deal with the public, how we deal with others. It's not about how you pray. How much you pray, Paul said you could pray and speak in other tongues, both tongues of human and tongues of angels. But if you don't know how to relate with the fellow man that God has placed around you, you say you are doing nothing. Everything you do is in vain. So most importantly, we are to reflect Christ in the lives of the people we meet out there. The most undeserving. The most undeserving means somebody who is not even close to you, who does not deserve kindness. I have a scar on my hand here. It's a horrible scar. I wasn't born with it. But to show and to extend the love of Christ, I suffered a near-death experience. And I still go back to these people and I shook their hands. I greet them. I give them stuff. I pray for them. That is the life of Christ. I'm wondering if it were in our time that Jesus was treated the way he was treated, humiliated the way he was humiliated, hung on the tree for the same people he came to liberate. He would just be saying, some of us will do that. Don't worry, I'm going to calm down. Today is Friday. Do everything you want to do. Go ahead and kill me. But when I come out on Sunday, I'm going to visit your houses one after the other. He would say, Peter, you denied me. Don't worry. When I come back, I will show you. You know, every one of us will think like that. They've been so bad to me, so wicked and evil and devious to me. Why should I show them love? Why should I treat them fairly? But I can imagine Jesus coming out, and the very same people who hurt him were the same people he gave his life for. Scripture teaches, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It means that Jesus is the pivot around where our faith revolves. What we do must be what he does. That is the meaning of that scripture we read, and the meaning of the scripture my brother read. And the same thing when we got in here is the same scripture our leader read. So friends, I'd like you to stand to your feet. In a moment, 30 seconds, I want you to examine your heart. You living like Jesus? You living like Jesus? How do you relate with the person next to you? The last time your neighbor had no food and you had excess that you were throwing in the garbage, did you remember them? What do you do to the helpless on the street? One time in Africa, my daughter there shocked me. They visited. We went to eat lizard. And while we were eating, there was this lunatic. One of his legs is cut off. I'm a wife and a few friends. We ate sumptuously. We even took some home. And then when we got into the house, she broke down. She began to cry. The mom wanted to go out with her. She said, I'm not going anywhere. She wept profusely. So I wouldn't go with her. I said, let me stay. I know then she was about 10, right? She was about eight. I said, let me know what's wrong with this girl. So I attended to her. Then she opened up and she told me. She said, look at the man where we just finished eating. He said, we had everything. Every one of us ate well. He doesn't have clothes on him. He has no shoes on his feet. One of his legs is cut off. And we ate and we saw this man came by our door. And we drove away. We didn't do anything to him. When she said those words, I was convicted. Immediately, I broke down in tears too. I said, get into the car. We drove back to that place. I said, tell me what you want us to do. She said, let's give us so amount of money and buy more food for him. And as soon as we did that, we came back home. She was happy. I felt happy too. Sometimes God talks to us in many ways. None of us are perfect, except that we are perfect in Christ. And the perfection we have in Christ is when we are willing to walk within the perimeters of his plan and purpose. I'd like you to examine yourself. When last did you show kindness? Not to people who deserve it, but people who don't deserve it. The love we talk about in the kingdom of God is different from the love of the world. The love of the world, Greek means filio. Filio is the love you have for what's yours, your wife, your husband, your children. Agape is the love that you have for people who don't deserve. And that is the kind of love God expects us to. 30 seconds. Father, I repent of every act. I repent of every act of ungodliness. Ungodliness does not mean smoking, drinking, humanizing. Anything that does not align with the character of Christ is ungodliness. I repent. Give me a fresh anointing. Renew my heart. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be thou transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew my heart. Renew my heart. Let the love of Christ flow through me to others, to the world around me, to my neighbors, to my loved ones, to the less privileged, their Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank you for this morning. We give you praise for the dew of Hermon that descends upon the mountains of Zion. We thank you for the healing anointing you brought in this house. In the course of the worship, we give you praise for the set man of this house, Chuck, and his wonderful wife. We thank you for the leadership of this assembly. We give you praise for the parishioners. We thank you for the Church of Christ in Orawa, and we thank you for the Church of Christ in Canada. We know that there is a fire cutting across this nation like a hot sword pierced on wax. You are cutting through this nation with your power and presence. Every devil is obeying. Every resisting power is bowing. Therefore, Lord, we ask that the essence of Christ will be effective in our lives in the name of Jesus. The efficacy of the blood of Jesus is the forgiveness of sin and the restoration of creation back to its originality. Let the blood of Jesus not be in vain over the nation of Canada, over this ministry, over the set leadership of this ministry. Let your glory flow. We thank you for the presence. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the humility. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the glory that you have released here this morning. We are living out of this place strong. We are living fortified. We are living equipped, and we are living full of knowledge. We are living here strong and sound. We are living here better people than we came here. We are living here armed and dangerous against the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, we lift up our voices unto you. We say, let your presence go in us. We are not living here empty. We are walking into that neighborhood. As we check into our cars, we are going to look at the devil in the face and tell him, get out of my car. I drove myself to this place, and I'm going to drive myself back home. As we walk into our homes, we are either opening the back doors or the front exit, and we are going to call upon every devil to exit our homes and exit our communities and exit our neighborhoods, exit our nations in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every evil tongue that will rise against the church in this nation, in astrology, witchcraft, divination, and sorcery, that tongue we cleave to the roof of the mouth with the beatings, never coming to pass. In the name of Jesus, we release the fire of God upon the nation of Canada. Every altar of idols, idolatry, and demon worship is going down in the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, we stand upon the talk and foundation of the apostolic oil, upon the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We step in the power of the Holy Ghost. We take captive principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. For having spied you, Jesus made a public spectacle of you. Gather yourselves together and be broken in pieces. Take counsel together against the elect of God, and it shall come to naught. Speak your words, and they shall not stand, for God is with us. We move in that unction, and we have this evidence and this proving us that you've answered our prayers. Take glory, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for in Jesus' awesome name we've prayed. Amen and amen. And let me hear the church say amen. Put your hands together and celebrate God.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. You know, I just want to encourage you to receive everything today with a heart of gratitude. Go through the rest of the day into the night. Just continue receiving and with a heart of gratitude. Let's be grateful together as a community. Hannah, come on up, and you can have the last word, and then next week you can have the first word, okay? God bless you, Hannah.
Oh, boy. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woo! Wow. Actually, what's really cool is what I was going to speak on is Acts 2. Koinonia. This is a different, but fellowship. So this is amazing. Thank you, Lord. This is fellowship. This is koinonia. But yes, also mothers. Happy Mother's Day. And I just had a little slide here I found last night. A Mother's Day hug for those missing their moms, the brand new moms, the longing to become moms, the moms finding it tough, the moms no longer holding their babies, the moms doing it alone, those caring for their moms, and those playing the role of moms, like adoptive, fostering, stepmoms, and those about to become moms. There's so many facets to motherhood, so many. It's so diverse and huge. Even those caring for kids with disabilities, those that have disabilities and are moms, it's just, there's so vast. You can't cover it all. But motherhood is amazing. And it's hard, and it's incredible. So thank you to all the moms that are out there doing the Lord's work. We love you all, and we want to honor you as well. This morning we have, okay, well, maybe we'll send a funny slide. Go to the next one. This is not a funny slide. It's actually real, but There we go. Okay, so this is funny. This is silly. It's probably not even real, but I just found it on the internet somewhere. It probably is, maybe should be more. But it says, how much should moms be paid? Based on the research of 19,000 moms, annual salary should be around 184,000. Now, I don't know if this is the American dollars or Canadian dollars or New Zealand dollars. I don't know. I should have looked, but maybe this is like worth 250 Canadian thousand dollars. That's pounds. Oh, that's a good idea. But here's all the jobs. There's so many, you know, and also husbands do perform these as well, praise God. But those that are single moms, woo, academic advisors, accountants, art directors, athletic directors, buyers, CEO, coach, daycare teacher, dietitian, instructor, chef, event planner, executive housekeeper, facilities director, groundskeeper, interior designer, janitor, judge, magistrate, laundry manager, logistics analyst, maintenance supervisor, chauffeur, financial advisor, network administrator, photographer, plumber, public school teacher, psychologist, recreational therapist, nurse, social media specialist. Yeah, all our photos on Facebook. Tailor, work-life manager, so many more. Moms do it a lot. They do a lot. 106 hours per week. I know that's a lot more, like all night, right? We're all night too, all day, all night, 24/7. I know my kids wake up many times in the night, so I'm still on duty at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, 4 a.m, all day, all night. It's amazing. So we're honoring moms this morning. Thank you so much for all you do to keep our kids alive. And and not just alive, but you know, they're thriving, and some are not thriving, but we still pray, right? We pray, and we're praying moms. So thank you for praying too. We love you, moms.
Just want some of the mothers and as representatives of, come and stand. Let us just pray a blessing on you. And then come on a little closer, huddle together. You guys need one another. Thank you for keeping the children alive. We are so grateful. Thank you for being mothers. I remember a prophet one time going through a line and praying for people and came to a mother and said, the Lord is saying, I want to thank you for your ministry to the body of Christ. I want to thank you for your ministry. She's thinking, I don't have a ministry. And then again, the prophet said, the Lord wants you to know he appreciates your ministry to the body of Christ. And then a third time, and then he said, well, how many children do you have? And she's told him that there are children. He said, the Lord wants you to know he appreciates your ministry to the body of Christ. Who just wants to stand to your feet? I'll just bring you the mic. Just pray. I just want a strong prayer as a blessing over these beautiful women that represent the mothers here and represent mothers on Mother's Day.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these women that stand representing all the women here, the mothers, whether physical mothers with children or mothers in spirit. Lord, we thank you that you give them to us and they're part of what you do. We thank you, Lord God, that you've called each one to a ministry. You've called each one to a work in your church. You've called each one to take your gospel and your love to those around them. Lord, whether it's a young tots group, whether it's to work, whether it's to high school and universities, Lord God, we thank you that as they raise children, they bring them into the life of the kingdom. And I pray, Lord God, that as you work through them, their blessing and the anointing and the favor of God will be upon their lives. Lord, we thank you for what you do through the women. We thank you that they're so important to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now to him who is able, mothers, everyone. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in every household throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Release the gift of hugs.